All right, so I have to ask the question. There's kind of a debate that goes on up here sometimes. How many of you like that song? That's not a lot of hands. Have you thought about the words that are in that song? Let's sing it again. By myself. But, I mean, look. I mean, Mark, if you want to put the song back up, you can. But I mean, look at the statements that we're making with that song. You know, the heavens declare your glory, the skies seem the work of your hand. Day after day, they call up and say, believe. I mean, isn't that what God's creation does? The oceans are telling your story over and over again, wave after wave, they call out the same, believe. Oh, what a revelation. And this is our declaration, right? That we believe. That we believe that He is God. We believe that He is good. That He's conquered the grave. That He's taken our sins away. And we believe every word that He has spoken. We believe that we are yours. And with each breath you give us, we will proclaim that we believe. And do you really believe this? I mean, is this really your declaration that you want to make? That you want to proclaim out there? If you remember way back when we did chapter 2 of the Believe series, talking about a personal God, I mentioned how growing up in the Christian Reformed Church, one of the things that we do on a regular basis is we'd recite the Apostles' Creed. And if you remember, I mentioned that those creeds were put into place and designed to help the church, to help each person to present truth of the gospel in a concise form. It was used to refute heresy. They were utilized to unify the church and to ensure consistent teaching. I mean, this song kind of does the same thing. And really, there's a lot of songs out there that we sing that do that for us, that help us to learn biblical truths. And like the first 10 weeks that we went through in the Believe series, all that was doing was hopefully helping you to solidify your beliefs. And now we're in the second set of 10 chapters, and all this is all about how to act. How are we acting? How do we act more like Jesus? There really is no such thing as a closet Christian, or at least there shouldn't be. And this song really does the same thing. If we get to verse 3, he talks about, "And now we stand before you." We want to give you more than a song. We want lives that prove that we really do believe. And when you get to the pre-chorus part, it says, "You've given us the revelation, you've given us your word. Now take your church and turn us into a living declaration." We believe. Like I said, there's plenty of other songs out there. In fact, Newsboys wrote a song simply called We Believe as well. And they kind of do the same thing. They go through and say, we believe in God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and how He's given us new life. Believe in the crucifixion, how He conquered death. Believe in the resurrection and He's coming back again. We believe. That's the belief part of it. And then they go on to say, so let our faith be more than anthems. Greater than the songs that we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. So what are these songs doing? Again, why do we come up here each week as a praise team and try to lead you guys in singing and teaching you songs? I mean, why as a church do we encourage Bible study? Do we encourage scripture memory? Do we encourage prayer? Again, all of that is to help hopefully solidify these biblical foundations in your life so that you will be able to put those beliefs into action. Randy Frazee says this, he goes, if we don't do what we say we believe, then we can't really say we believe it. It's all about actions. Put your money where your mouth is, right? So if we believe in God, and this all-creative being, this loving, personal God, believe in Jesus, and we truly accept that His free gift of salvation, which means the Holy Spirit then comes and lives in us. Why is it so hard for us to focus on God? Why is it so hard for us to keep our focus on Him? Why do our minds seem to wander all the time? Don't you wander? There's another song for you. I'm not messing with this. There's a, is it because we really don't believe? Or do we feel as though God doesn't really care? Or are we simply maybe just allowing ourselves to be too distracted by other things? Now there's a great Pixar movie out there that kind of depicts what I'm going to be talking about today. I highly recommend you guys watch this movie. In the first few minutes, you kind of just have this great nice feeling. It's just kind of, it's kind of neat. You kind of can't help but smile through the whole first few minutes of it. And then all of a sudden there's a moment where you kind of cry. And I seem to be more of a crier than I used to be. But you have a cry, and that's only in the first like 15 minutes of the movie. And then the rest of the movie just pretty much laughs at the whole thing. It's pretty funny. But anyway, this movie hopefully kind of depicts this clip that I'm going to show you. Hopefully it'll give you a glimpse of what we're going to be talking about today.
Hey, I like dog.
We have your dog.
Whoa.
Wonder who he belongs to.
Sit, boy. Hey, look, he's trained. Shake. Uh-huh. Speak.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Bruh!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel! My master is good and smart.
It's not...
We use that one all the time on our kids. You can use it too, twerk. But doesn't that really represent kind of what goes on in our lives sometimes? Represent us kind of so well? I mean, how many of you sat down and you're going to do your Bible study, right? Last week was all about Bible study. Pastor says we got to do Bible study. Okay, this week I'm going to do Bible study. I'm going to do it. So I'm going to get all my stuff together and I, you know, find my spot that I want to do it at the kitchen table and I'm going to sit down and okay. What time is it? Okay, I better get moving here. Okay, so I'm going to do my Bible study. Where's my coffee? I got to find my coffee. Oh, it's over there by Macy's lunch bag. Let me go get Macy's lunch. Let me go grab my coffee real quick. And Macy's lunch bag. Wait a minute. Does she need lunch today? What day is it today? It's Thursday. Let me see. Oh, it's burritos. Yep. Nope. She needs a lunch today. I better make her lunch. Wait a minute. It's the 19th. It's my dad's birthday. I got to send him a card. Did I send him a card? I don't know if I sent him a card. I'll just wish him happy birthday on Facebook. It'll be fine. He'll be all right. Wait a minute. Facebook. Where's my phone? Isn't that our life sometimes? We just kind of get so distracted with what's going on. Squirrel. It's a squirrel. They all look the same, right? Quit putting the corn out. No, it's not coming. Trust me. Somebody got that one. Then all of a sudden you forget where you're doing, or you run out of time. Now society has labeled this ADD. You know, attention deficit disorder. Great. It's not my fault. Right? I just gotta take this pill and everything will be perfect. All I have to do. Now what do we do? We kind of need to stop for a moment, don't we? And maybe refocus. We need to practice. You know, this is a something that we need to act on, to work at even. To develop what the belief study is calling being single-minded. Now, what does single-minded mean, you say? But yeah. To be single-minded means to be focused solely on God's will and purpose. And to trust Him to take care of our needs. To be focused solely on God's will and purpose, and to trust Him to take care of our needs. Because to not trust Jesus, I mean, really what we're saying is, you know, I don't trust you to supply what I need. Now, I'm not talking about wants. It's definitely different than needs. And saying, God, I don't know if I believe that you can really provide for me. God, I don't really think you have my best interest in mind. And Jesus' longest recorded teaching that we have on the sermon, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaks to this idea of being single-minded. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 24 through 34. Now, obviously, this passage, you probably, if you read the lead book, you probably read through this. And it also has our theme verse for the week. But Jesus says this. He says, starting in verse 24, "You cannot serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more important than food, and your body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, if you notice, there's a kind of a common theme in that passage of Scripture. In fact, they use the word worry 6 times in there. That word worry is the Greek word mirmano, which simply means to divide the mind. Divide the mind. So worry, in a sense, shifts our focus. It divides our focus on what we're supposed to be focused on. It can also eventually then lead to anxiety and fear so that we can't even think straight. Shifts our focus. And to where we start dwelling on things like our job, our finances, and our relationships, and the future, and health, and all these things can divide the mind. And it's not bad to think about these things. I mean, it's really not bad to think about these things. I mean, life does happen. Decisions need to be made. I wrote a quote in my Bible. I don't even know where it came from. But it says, "Planning for tomorrow is time well spent." So planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. And so when we allow these things to consume our minds or take over our psyche, if you will, then we're taking God's will out of our lives. We're taking us out of God's hands, essentially. We're saying, "I got this, God. Don't worry about it. I can take care of myself." We're taking God's provisions away from Him, what He wants to provide for us, which then in turn should lead us to want to worship Him even more. And so through this passage, Jesus gives us examples of things that can distract us or divide our minds. You know, what will we eat or drink or wear? What our bodies look like? Or maybe our life expectancy? Or if you're a new King James or King James person, how tall you are, right? You can't add a cubit to your stature. So this must be why all you people are short. I must not worry that much. Which bugs Jamie. Why don't you worry about these things? I don't know. Yeah, I put in your notes a whole chunk of things from Dr. David Jeremiah's study Bible. I had this reflection. I just thought it was good, and so I just put it in there for you, and I'm just going to basically read through them. But he says there's 3 things in this text that Jesus, 3 times, in this text, Jesus says, "Do not worry." And he gives us 5 reasons why we should not worry. The first one is, worry is inconsistent. Verse 25, if we can trust Jesus to provide us with our life, can we not also trust Him with our daily needs? Worry is irrational. Verse 26, it says, if our Lord cares for the birds, will He not also care for us? Since we are more valuable than birds. 3, worry is ineffective. In verse 27, says, who among us can add a single hour to your life by worrying? It's ineffective. Worry is also illogical, number four. If God can clothe the lilies of the field, can he not also clothe us? Worry is also irreligious. 31 through 32, when we worry, we act just like those who don't know God. In this case, the pagan. And so he goes on to say, to avoid worrying, we need a system of priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Verse 33. We also need a strategic plan program. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Verse 34. So we need a system of priorities. Seeking God, we need a strategic program. Well, we talked about that strategic program last week, didn't we? Talking about Bible study, and even 2 weeks ago, talking about prayer. But we have to do it. We have to make it our priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. That word seek is the Greek word epizito, which means to crave, or to intently search for. We need to seek, crave, search. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. What things? Everything that came before that. Food, drink, clothing, your body, how long you're going to live. Focusing on God and his righteousness. And those other things, they won't matter. In fact, Jesus says to chase after those things. That's what the pagans do. That's what those who don't know him do. They're the ones that go after these things. They're the ones that should worry about these things. And again, it doesn't mean that we are to be foolish, you know, spending all of our money and time on things that, you know, whatever we want, and expect God to just meet all of our needs. But it means that, like chapter 9, when we talk about being stewards of what God has given us. He's given us everything. He's given us the time. He's given us resources. He's given us money. He's given us these bodies, everything that we need. So we need to be continually thanking God for what he's given us. Being good stewards for what he's given us. Maybe thanking him when we're in the act of buying our food. I mean, we're good at sitting down and for prayer time when we eat the food. Maybe we should thank God that we have the means to buy the food. Or we have the means to pay the bills. Thank you, Lord, for electricity. Or for garbage service. You know, instead of begrudgingly writing that check out every month, man, Lord, thank you so much that I don't have to worry about whatever. That then takes our mind and refocuses it and reminds us of who's in control. Who allowed us to have all these things. Who teaches us to be content with what we have. And giving him the glory. Look at what Paul says in Philippians 4:19. He says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And if you're to go back just a few verses in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, Paul says, I'm not saying this because I am in need. But I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Seek God first. Putting God first. Stop. You know, we need to stop looking around us and start looking up. We need to stop trying to keep up with the Joneses and look to Jesus. We need to seek his kingdom. I think I spoke on this a few weeks ago, but in Philippians 4:13 and 14, Paul says this. He goes, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I mean, our ultimate goal is to be in God's will, right? To be in his plan for us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Don't we pray that? We say the Lord's Prayer. We need to tick off everything that distracts us. Try and remove it. Hebrews, a verse that kind of goes with that, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. The kind of paraphrasing it a little bit, but it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, I'm not a runner by nature. I forced myself to try and get out there and run, but it's never really stuck. I'm definitely not an Eric Liddell who says that he feels God's presence when he runs. That is not me. I mean, the only thing that I feel is my back telling me, what in the world are you doing? Would you just sit down? But when I try to run, the times that I do run, I kind of have to focus on something. You know, I have to kind of continue to motivate myself. And so I have to, I have to pick a tree. All right, if I can just run to that tree. You know, and then I get there and, okay, now I've got to pick the next thing in front of me. I'm going to run to that. I can't just run. You know, Morgan, I love you, but gosh darn it. She makes it look so much fun, doesn't she? She just runs. She's in a snowstorm running with a smile. I don't know, who does that? You can just run, can't you? That's so cool. It's just jealousy. It's all it is, really. I wish that was me. I don't know if it's so true here, but in Illinois, in planting season, I mean, we're perfectly flat. And so in order to get good straight rows, you have to point the tractor at tree or whatever on the other side of the field, and you have to aim for that tree the whole way. You know, and you're not supposed to deviate, I don't know. You don't run about, there's a lot of pride in your farms. You know, if the rows went like this, that was not good. They had to be straight. Oh man, I remember my Uncle Pete would just, you gotta be straight. Okay, I'm sorry. But that's kind of the same point. We gotta focus, right? Focus on the next spot. You know, we need to single out our minds. We need to, block off those things that distract us. Change our focus from out there to up there. It's kind of like, those horse blinds that they put on. It's designed to keep the horse looking forward. We need those. Block out those things that distract us. There's a great verse that talks about changing our focus. And I'm not really sure where I heard these little snippets on the sides, but I wrote them down in my Bible. But it's Colossians 3, 1 through 4, which says this. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. In other words, look up. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Look, let go. God's got this. He says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You're locked in. When you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, we're locked in. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's looking ahead. Keeping our eyes straight, keeping our eyes looking forward on the goal. God's kingdom, God's righteousness, God's will for our lives. So we need to single out our minds and trust in Jesus. We need to seek Him first in everything, in our family, in our job, in our finances, in the decisions, in our time. We need to always be thanking Him for His daily bread and lining our lives up with His will, because it's perfect for us. It's a choice that we have to make, though. It's a practice, even, that we have to work on. I mentioned Eric Liddell. He had this quote in the book, The Disciplines of a Christian Life. He says, you will know as much of God and only as much of God as you're willing to put into practice. You will know as much of God and only as much of God as you're willing to put into practice. And that's true for all of our actions. That's, Bible study, prayer, single-mindedness, our life. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. I'd like to just close with a great verse out of Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Talking about what we can gain when we put our focus on Him. He says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Which steadfast simply means resolute or dutiful, dutifully firm, unwavering, or essentially single-minded. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself is the rock eternal. Oh, Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would just help me to be single-minded, Lord. Help me not to be distracted by the things around me, but help me to be focused on you, the author and perfecter of faith. It's so easy, Lord, to just allow those things around us to just draw us in. So, Father, I pray that you just help us just, again, look up to you, knowing that you have the best in mind for us, that you have the perfect will, the perfect plan for our life. Help us just to continue to practice that each and every day, to give you the praise and the honor and glory that you deserve for all things, even our daily bread. We ask these things in Jesus' name.